You're listening to the Marketplace Tech Flash Briefing. I'm Molly Wood. Back in March 2019, a gunman killed 51 people at two separate mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, and streamed the whole thing on YouTube. After that event, we took a week-long look at how social media radicalizes people to violence, how a troll becomes a terrorist. Now, nearly 2 years later, and after a violent attack on the U.S. Capitol, there still seems to be some surprise that online speech leads to offline consequences. And so we wanted to revisit some of what we heard that week. Becca Lewis studies extremism online at Stanford. She said part of the process to draw people in is to start with the notion that extremist content is just a joke.
Far-right communities online have for several years now been using humor specifically as a recruitment tool. In fact, a really popular neo-Nazi website a couple of years ago, its style guide got leaked. And the founder of that website explicitly wrote that humor is a recruitment tool because it gives the far-right extremists plausible deniability about their extremist beliefs.
One of the people arrested at the U.S. Capitol argued in a hearing last week that he was joking when he said online that he wanted to shoot House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, for example. Such jokes can be just a first step. Back in 2005, Fethullah Mogaddam, a psychology professor at Georgetown, published a paper called The Staircase to Terrorism, exploring how there can be millions of angry people, but some of them end up committing violent acts. He says the internet can make climbing that staircase happen a lot faster.
And the radicalization takes place in relation to other groups. It's what I call mutual radicalization. And gradually they get to a stage where one or two of them are ready for actual violent behavior.
And that is why, for example, the crowd at the U.S. Capitol included QAnon true believers and people actually giving speeches promoting misinformation about the coronavirus. Now, since the attack, we've seen social media act to block a lot of content and accounts and apps after spending years arguing that it was too hard to stop because the platforms were so big. Dipayan Ghosh used to work on global privacy and public policy issues at Facebook. Now he's a researcher at the Harvard Kennedy School. He says it's obviously doable.
When they do decide that they want to throw their money behind some commercial effort, let's say, for example, the development of AI to better target ads, they're throwing dollars behind that. Now, I would argue that they should be doing this in exactly the same capacity, at exactly the same level.
For the first time in the last couple weeks, we did see something closer to that level of effort. Accounts taken down, hashtags blocked, and groups shut down, although not as aggressively as some would still prefer. And now I would argue we're about to see if the changes we've seen are temporary or whether real change is in the works. That's all for today's Marketplace Tech Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.